I really thought Georgia Tech, the coaching staff, got right last year in what was an absolute miserable season. I don't care if the Citadel, I mean, you could have made them walk from South Carolina. They're not supposed to win. But Georgia Tech, they had no numbers to begin with. Then there were some injuries on the offensive line. We talked about all this. It was a terrible season. But one thing that I thought they got absolutely right, because it wasn't going to be a great season, no matter, Joe Hamilton, who was a Heisman runner-up, he could have somehow, oh, he's got another year of eligibility. And you could have, like, DeLoreaned 1998 Joe Hamilton to last year, and Georgia Tech's season wouldn't have been that different. The coaching staff made a great call in saying, we're going to ride with James Graham. But at least we're going to find out something about the kid. And it's hard to evaluate a quarterback when he's working behind an offensive line that doesn't necessarily take care of their responsibilities all the time. But you can still find – bad experience is still experience, all right? You can still find things out. And so that's one thing in what was going to be a tough season, no matter what. They said, let's at least find out something about this young, athletic kid with a really strong arm. What they found was he's young, he's athletic, he's got a strong arm. They turned the ball over way too many times. But they've got a ground game that they can work with. I was talking with Coach Collins a couple of weeks ago, and I want to read something into this. I said something about James Graham, and he's like, well, yeah, James, whoever the quarterback winds up being. I was like, what, huh? A man who is at practice every single day as much as you can be, does a great job covering the team for Jackets Online. It is Kelly Quinlan. Kelly, welcome. How are you today?
I'm good, Chuck. How you doing?
Doing okay. Talk about James Graham last year and maybe Jeff Collins' comment. Was that just him being a coach, or is – no, whoever the quarterback is, or is this really up for grabs?
If I were to handicap it today, I would say that James is the fourth quarterback on the team.
Wow.
How about that?
Roll through that, man. Explain.
So James, like you said, a lot of turnovers. He has not played this type of offense before. They have Jordan Yates, who's a stand-up player here in Georgia. He has really come on. He understands offense probably better than anyone in that room. He's kind of a coach on the field guy, but maybe not quite there physically, a little bit short, has to scramble around a little bit to find throwing lanes. And then Tucker Gleason and Jeff Sims, the two true freshman guys, I think – are the two guys I would think one of them's probably going to start in Tallahassee. Jeff Sims, big, talented, huge arm, really has come on. He learned the offense in the offseason. Struggled a lot in the spring, just didn't really know the offense quite well enough yet. And then he took that time, the Zoom meetings, all the stuff they did in the offseason, and learned the offense. And he's had a really great camp. He's kind of become the surprise guy so far. And then Tucker Gleason's guy, he was their first quarterback commitment with this offensive staff, and he really understands offense, has great touch on the ball, knows how to make all throws, has a real command of what they're trying to do offensively. So I think it's really, to me, I think they're looking at this like this is, house money this season. You don't know even how many games you might get. So they're going to approach it with, let's roll the dice, play the kids, and get better, take our lumps now, and hope that it makes a huge investment for our future by playing one of those young freshman quarterbacks.
All right. Anybody, Kelly, can hear 10 different things. Oh, yeah, I heard something. I'll go ahead and tell you then what I heard then. About 2 months ago, somebody told me that James was sort of making the same assumptions that maybe I was. Yeah, I'm going to be the quarterback. That's just how this is going to be. And that there were a couple of the young bucks who were kind of outworking everybody, including the other quarterbacks. You mentioned Tucker Gleason. Talk a little bit more about him, because that's a whole lot of quarterback. I mean, he's 6'3". I bet he's close to 220 pounds, and that's before they start putting that, now he's in a college weight program. He's going to run and lift and eat. That's a good-looking young quarterback.
Yeah, Tucker's sort of like the prototype quarterback guy. He just knows offense, is a good leader, just throws a beautiful pass, like nice ball, intermediate, deep throws. He has all of those throws in his arsenal, and it makes him really kind of dynamic. He can run well enough in the offense, moves well enough, didn't get enough credit for that probably. Just a great kid from a great program down at Plant High School down in Tampa, and he's really been impressive. And then Jeff was the guy they stole from Florida State that kind of a late pickup. Mike Norvell maybe didn't show him the love he needed to, and To me, that's the best story here, right? Because if they start Jeff Sims in Tallahassee, what a story would that be? Like a kid that was a Florida State commit that ended up at Georgia Tech, starts his first career game at Tallahassee. I think just the sheer kind of buzz off of something like that would be something that Jeff Collins might do.
Well, the best friend for any young quarterback and experienced quarterback is the tight end and a ground game. I don't have any doubts, and I say that, folks, if you're a Georgia Tech fan listening, I mean, like, I underline it, put an exclamation. I have no doubts about the group of running backs, but that's not saying the same thing as, oh, I think they'll have a great ground game. Talk about the running backs a little bit, but, of course, without the offensive line, it's not going to really matter a whole lot.
Jordan Mason last year, he was among the top running backs in the country, yards after contact, played basically most of the season on one shoulder, came just shy of 1,000 yards. He was like 899. He did all of that basically with one arm, breaking tackles pretty much every play. So he had like 775 yards rushing or something last year after contact of the 899. He's a stud. He's going to be an all-ACC guy. He's going to be a guy who has a chance to play in the NFL. He is the backbone of that game. The guy that's really been kind of the X factor here so far this fall has been Jahmyr Gibbs, a freshman from Dalton. He is just electric. He is a Reggie Bush kind of Eric Metcalf. You know, think about it, like wow. All those kind of guys that could flex out in the slot. The dude catches the ball unbelievably. I mean, I was at camps. I saw this kid playing high school. Like, he was just electric, and he's brought that to the table. He's not the biggest guy in the world, but he'll have a role. He'll have a big role in the offense. I think you got to figure out a way to get him 5-10 touches a game at least in space. He's going to really kind of open things up. It gives him another weapon. Even Coach Collins has been pretty effusive in his praise for Gibbs, and he's one to not really get too into that stuff. And then Jamias Griffin and Dante Smith, who are two guys they have back who played a little bit last year. Griffin played a lot, actually. He's kind of the primary backup running back, and his problem last year is he had trouble finishing runs, but kind of get tipped over, got a little too much forward momentum, leaned a little bit too much, and he kind of has got his pads back a little bit better now and is seeing the field better and finishing his runs better. I think he has a chance to be a pretty good running back for them as well this year. So, and then Dante Smith's a guy who was hurt last year. He is really electric, a guy with a lot of speed and can catch the ball as well out of the backfield. So I feel like they have four guys right there that would play pretty much anywhere in the country. And I think their ground game is going to be pretty good. And the big key will be the offensive consistency, the offensive line you mentioned, and then also having an intermediate passing game to kind of back guys off a little bit. You can't just throw home run balls all the time.
Kelly, flipping around defense. Here's what I know about Coach Collins, having watched him at a couple of different spots. One of them is a head coach up at Temple. He's going to bring heat. He's going to try to light up the quarterback a little bit. And last year, you know, the reason I'm kind of optimistic about the defense this year, last year it was a transition season. And again, on the line in particular, numbers. I like the talent in Georgia Tech's secondary, and I kind of like the numbers back there a little bit. So you can play games. If you can count on your back, you know, your back end, then that allows Coach Collins to be a little bit more Coach Collins, doesn't it?
Yeah, they feel comfortable playing man in secondary kind of across the board. They can roll 98 at safety comfortably. Like, they really like their depth there. They're 4 or 5 deep at corner. So you can play man, you can match up, you can bring guys off the bench to keep their legs fresh. So that really changes up what you do. And then on the defensive line, they have Antonius Clayton, who was a 5-star recruit, signed with Florida. He had a lot of injuries there. He had to sit out last year after transferring. He has been a real X factor. He's really come on in the fall here. They think he's going to be kind of a special guy. He's a guy who's trying to make it to the NFL. He is bound and determined to do so, and I think that he has a chance to have a really special year at defensive end. And then the rush end position, they have guys like Jordan Dominick and Curtis Ryans who have gotten a lot bigger. Jordan Dominick played really well down the stretch last year for them at that position. Was a guy that took a little bit of time to adjust to not just being a 3-4 outside linebacker, but having to put his hand down. He's had a very good fall camp. And they have Chico Bennett back, who was hurt last year too. So they got some nice depth. They have probably, you know, 6 guys that could play a defensive end now. I think that's a huge step in the right direction.
Absolutely.
Last year, they just had they had lost four guys to graduation, and then, you know,
tragedy.
Tragedy with Brandon Adams. So it's hard to overcome that at any program, especially Georgia Tech, where you don't have that bankroll of five-star defensive linemen.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it this year. And like I said, you got to have numbers. Nothing to wear out a big one more than chasing a quarterback all afternoon. And so you've got to have, you know, it's not just talent. It's talent and numbers. Kelly, it's always great information, brother. Appreciate you coming on. Thank you.
No problem, Chuck. Thanks.
All right. I've talked about Georgia Tech in terms of their wins and losses. And this was going back to the 12-game schedule where it was a little more attainable there because – there are some non-conference games, which are supposed to kind of help you a little bit if you're in a Power 5 conference. And with Georgia Tech, well, it didn't. Again, they lost to Citadel. I said that Georgia Tech was going to be better this year. I don't know that they're going to win any more games. And I still believe that. I don't know how many games they're going to win. Last year was, again, predictably, you kind of knew in advance that it was going to be a tough go, but you're 3-9, and the reason you got to 3 is because NC State was just in flames by the time, you know, they got down the stretch in November. You beat South Florida and had to make a couple of plays. It was a defensive game early, and you beat South Florida, and then in the middle of the year, an overtime win in Miami, which was – I mean, it was the point where it turned for Manny Diaz and that team. They're like, oh, wow, we just lost at home to a team that lost to Citadel. Huh. It was just an awful, terrible game for Miami, but they got the dub there. And then, again, the late season win against the Wolfpack, that's 3-9. You could be a three-win team again this year, and it would actually be a big improvement because you're doing it in 10 games and it's only conference. So they'll be better. But you might not be able to tell it just by looking at the win-loss record.